You want to start it this time?
Oh.
Welcome to another episode of Fujoshi NYC. Ray here.
May.
This week, there's been nothing much in the news, but I thought I'll start first with the fact that today's Veterans Day, and we got the news that Stanley passed away. Has nothing to do with BL, but still, he's a big major player in the comic book scene, and since we talk about manga and a lot of different series, I thought I'll mention it, I'll bring it up.
Oh, well, yesterday was Veterans Day. It's celebrated today because it's Monday.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because it's usually, what, the first Monday of the second or third, a second Monday of November?
No, I don't. It's probably always on the same date. It's like Christmas. If Christmas falls on a weekend, you're going to have the holiday for it the day
afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they mentioned it was like pretty ironic that, not ironic, but it's like good, not good at it, for the death, but they did mention that Stanley was also in, he was a veteran from World War II as well. Sad for the passing, but he did a lot of different works and he lived a fulfilling life. His work is still living on. We have a lot more movies that's going to come out. Unfortunately, we don't have that, you know, special cameo from him anymore. So let's move on to what we've been reading and watching recently.
I finished Will, A Wonderful World.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
That's good. So the two cops, which is the most BL-ish thing in the whole thing, I think they had the best ending. You have to go back and change to the Z ending, which is where they have their like unexpected relationship. So that way, because if you don't do that, then he'll never hear from the lieutenant again. But if you do that, it's implied that the lieutenant calls him at the end.
Since actually I never played any other like type of, you know, those games aside from like visual dating, like not even dating sim, but visual novels type games aside from Japanese ones. Is there any like differences? It's like, because in Japanese, like when you play through the story, you get CGs and you get like, you know.
Yeah, you get CGs and stuff here, but it isn't really exactly like a visual novel. It's more like there are blocks of text that you have to move around.
Move around? In what way?
Like there are paragraphs and you have to change the order of the paragraphs to get different outcomes.
That's really interesting. You were talking about, because that's like the core mechanic of the game, which is like you can change what happens.
Yeah, so there are like gods that people pray to or write letters to. So even if they're not exactly letters, their prayers will show up in the form of letters. So then you rearrange the parts of the letter.
That's so cool. So maybe that's not exactly like you're saying, that it might not be a visual novel itself. It just might be a mechanic in the game, because it's this type of game is how it works. Like, because you move text around.
Yeah. So in at the end, if I showed you I can show you the game later. Like, if you zoom out and you see everything, there are lines crossing over to like this ending will lead to this and this and this. You can't have this without this, etc.
That's so unique. Before you bought the game, like, what did you hear about it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really do that much research into games. Like, if it looked pretty, I would click on it and then like be, oh, I that sounds like a game I would like.
Well, you have a lot of nice surprises. So you pretty quickly picked it up and you like, you know, just breezed through this one. Usually you take a really long time with a lot of different games.
I really wanted to know what happened to those two cops.
No, the entire story actually seems pretty interesting. Because
all of their lives affected each other somehow.
I was thinking like comparing it to Enzai, where like you have to play through all the parts to know like the backgrounds of what's happening in the story.
Yeah, that too. Like there's a part where a kid who's being abused, but then you find out from the cat that what the kid thinks is true is not actually true.
Ah. Like, I wonder, did they, when you were looking at it, was there any other games that came out from the studio? Like, it's released in English, I mean.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm really glad they bring it out on the Switch. Not to mention on the Switch, so it's easy for you to, like, play because it's portable.
Well, there's another, like, guy-guy relationship, but that one's tragic. So it's like, it's that those two guys, neither one of them are, like, one of the main characters, even though they, one of them has a story, but it's only, like, one, it's only one letter, I think. So it's only to reveal that he was, like, a lover of some other character that was killed.
Oh, so it was a legitimately a, like,
well, he wasn't killed, he committed suicide. Well, but yeah,
but it was like really they were together.
Yeah,
the two guys.
Yeah.
Oh, why does the Chinese want to like kill off their guys?
Well, the I mean the happiest ending for those two Korean cops is they're still alive.
Okay, that's good. What was your favorite part about their story? The part where they were stalking, not stalking. They were what was the word? Not stalking. The opposite of stalking. When they were undercover or like.
Yeah, that was funny. But I like that. Yeah, it's one of those things where it turns like at first he hates him. Like the lieutenant thinks he's just some young brash kid, and the kid thinks lieutenant's like really harsh and just got his way there, of nepotism or something. But actually, they met each other when they were younger. Well, spoilers.
Meaning they're actually childhood friends. They actually knew each other.
No, they didn't really know each other. The lieutenant saved him once.
Oh, so
and he had the same attitude as like the young brash kid. That's where he got it from.
Oh, I see. So at the end, they're still together.
Cops
together.
Yeah, so like the best ending for them is like you go back and switch to the Z ending so that you can unlock the ending where after that story, the lieutenant will still contact him. Otherwise, he never hears from the lieutenant again.
Oh, it's only in one ending that they do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like in this story, because you have to get all the endings for people. Otherwise, there are... Like, for the different letters. Otherwise, you can't unlock more letters and then you'll just be stuck in the game. So even if you feel like Z is the best ending because that's the one where they get together, you still have to go back and get in the S ending. Otherwise, no more letters will come.
Ah, so there is an order. When you were playing this, you mentioned you're using a walkthrough.
Yeah, for the parts that I got stuck, if no new letters would come, I have to look at the... walk through, because like there's combinations where even if you get S, because sometimes the letters are joined because they're causal. I think I said casual one time. Anyway, it's supposed to be causal.
Okay.
The letters are causal, so sometimes they're joined. So meaning like if you get an S in this one using this combo of letter pieces, you can't get an S in the other one using whatever combo pieces is left over. So you have to find a way for it to be S in like both letters for it to continue giving you letters.
I see. Is it also like, I think I asked you this question before, but just for the sake of it, but is it the kind of game where if you go with one ending and you have to do an ending in a certain order, if you don't, like sometimes other endings will be totally locked out?
No, you can do them in any order.
Oh, okay. That's good.
There, I mean, some endings won't appear until you unlock another story or something.
Oh, okay. Then we have that. That's good.
But it'll tell you, there are like colored blocks that will tell you whether you can actually get this ending right now or not. So like, because some endings you can only get by changing the endings of some other ones, like you have this ability later on to change from the S to the X or whatever by pressing a button. And yeah.
I think this is such an interesting game because otherwise, aside from the that changing, like novel mechanic, that seems to be just for this game. Because I can't think of another one that uses that kind of.
I feel like it is like a visual novel, except more transparent because you're the god changing all their lives, and so you can zoom out and see all the lines connecting them, like which parts will reveal which part of the story.
But yeah, like for a Switch game, I feel like that's like. For all games, actually, because I can't think of other games that...
Oh, it came out on PC first. You can play it on Steam.
Oh, okay. But I like the pictures because I like the art design and the story seems really interesting. And I thought it was really cool that they use like different there's like different cultures in the game, like they travel to different places.
Most of it's in Asia.
Because you have like Chinese and then the Korean.
Yeah. Like even though there's a small part that takes place in Mexico, but he gets on a plane to fly to Hong Kong.
I haven't really been reading anything lately. I've been keeping up with anime. The Banana Fish is really good. But I said we're gonna dedicate maybe a long part for it when it nears the end, because it's like so good. But this last episode is very powerful. A lot of concentration is like on Ash and AG's relationship, how much they mean to each other, and how much like, you know, they're actually willing to do for each other. And it shows a lot because it gives a lot of background to see like how Ash actually feels about AG. May I'll tell you like more about it like when we're not recording, because I can show you that part because it's like beautiful. But really, I love this series to bits. It's like one of my favorites. And watching also Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, the second season. And even though I mentioned like before, like it's really close to how the game is. So if you actually play the game, like a lot of the parts are just like straight from the series. Except that obviously they cut a lot of the investigation part. However, like, they also have what I really like is, like, the anime originals. Like, the first season actually had that. And the anime originals, like, take place in the past. Which, obviously, the game doesn't really visit until they go into, like, you know, Edgeworth's past. Like, you know, and that's, like, a mystery in itself. But they have in season one, they had, like, a episode about that. In season two right now, the most recent one this week, was also about, like, you know, their past. Meaning, like, season one, they talked about how Edgeworth and Phoenix and, like, Larry met in elementary school. So, and now the second season is actually how, like, they're still friends in junior high. Which I thought was, like, so cute. So I really love how they did that. Because I said, that's not something, like, you know, they talked about it at all, like, you know, in the series.
Well, in the anime, I feel like they made them much closer friends than they were in the game. Because I feel like in the game, like, that time they met in the classroom was, like, their only main interaction with each other.
Exactly. But since Capcom is behind it, so, like, this is, I will take it as canon. Like, they actually had a history together, they actually stayed together. And it shows, like, a lot about how Edgeworth, like how he grew up when he was with the, like, the Von Karmas. And, like, how he unfortunately became, like, you know, as cynical as he is. But right now, like, this current episode, he's in junior high, he's adorable. He has a dog. I can't tell if it's Corgi or Pomeranian, but... It's a dog. Yeah. Did you watch the most recent one?
What, Phoenix Wright?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch any of this season yet.
Oh, okay. You know, you can just slowly watch it. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read more of Fujo Shirumi yet. Oh, I did kind of when I was delayed on the train. I flipped through the rest of the novel, rest of the graphic novels, because I'm like, when do we get up to the part where this girl stops hating on them?
Because you got to the part where you meet, what's the character's name?
Momose.
So she doesn't like...
She even though she's a Fujoshi, she says she's not one, and she like hates Fujoshi.
Oh no, she's denying herself. She's one of those. She's like, oh no, I'm not gonna really share my passion.
Yeah, so she started looking on like the, because Rumi and Matsui, they do doujinshi together, so they put up a website and they have a blog where they go to some famous cosplayers party, and like Momose is looking at it, it's like, this is stupid, why am I getting jealous?
So that's why she doesn't like them, because she's not part of, like, she's not able to do the same things they did,
I guess. And I thought it was gonna go into a thing where she finds out, oh, they got that closer because Matsui dates another famous doujinshi maker's sister or something, and she dates the guy, you know what I mean, anyway. And I thought she was gonna reveal that, and then everybody would be like, oh, that's why they're so popular, not because they're good. But that, it didn't really go like that.
Oh,
Yeah, but I'll read it for real, like, next week, probably.
Then you'll get to see all the details.
Yeah. Okay. I just was tired of all this, like...
hate.
Yeah.
I know, hate is not fun.
I hate rivals and stuff.
Yeah, because it's BL. Everyone should be friends, regardless. Yeah. Actually, that comes up a lot in a lot of cosplay circles. It's like off topic, but it's like, you know, that reminds me because I have a lot of cosplay friends and I'm very proud of them because they're really, really good cosplayers, you know? But then like in a lot of cosplay circles, unfortunately, like even amongst themselves, there's a lot of like, you know, there's a lot of drama that comes up because like so-and-so, like, you know, is considered a popular cosplayer and they're saying like, oh, they're friends with that person because that person is popular or like something like that. I was like, oh, even in cosplay, like same as BL, like everyone should just like come together and enjoy the, you know, enjoy the fandom, enjoy the hobby. It has nothing to do with like who's like more popular than the other. And in my eyes, they're all really popular because they're like really good. I'm very, very proud of them. I'm like, just like, I'm a very low level cosplayer compared to them. I can only make one costume a year. Even that, so... I'm very happy, like, you know, interacting with them and learning a lot from them whenever, like, I talk with them or hang out with them. They're really cool people. Actually, next week, we'll probably have a lot to talk about.
We can do a daily special.
Because, like, this coming weekend is actually going to be Anime NYC, so... daily special every day?
Yeah, well, not as long.
That's true. We may be. We'll think about that later on.
10 minutes.
Because you know how busy we're going to be. It's going to be a lot going on next week. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to plan for, a lot of stuff to cosplay. May have to decide what kind of Lolita outfit you're going to do. Let's talk about the most recent episode for Takaichi. Because it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Last time we left off on a cliffhanger with... Asumaya finding out. Actually, did he call at that time? He didn't. He called in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, last episode, the major cliffhanger was that Saggio and Kaji? No, that's not his name.
Akagi.
Akagi, thank you. Really bad with names. Thank you. Are in bed together. And Akagi gave Saggio a hickey. That's basically it. And what else did he do? Well, we find out in this episode, and this is not a major spoiler because it just happens in the first, like, you know, beginning, where Asumaya ends up calling. And because of that, Akagi, like, you know, that's his, like, stopping point. Because Asumaya basically asking, like, he picked up the phone and he's like, who are you? So, and Saju at that time is already knocked out. He's already sleeping.
Yeah, well, he called Junta's name. And then, like, that's when Akagi was like, well, I'm not going to, you know, hit on somebody else's man when he's calling his name.
Pretty much. I'm not going to sleep with this guy because he's already calling out somebody else's name. I guess that would be, like, you know, a downer. Yeah. Which is good. So, Saggio's like...
he's got some morals.
Yes, he does. Because, yeah, Mei and I were, like, talking about Akagi before, whether or not
he's,
like,
redeemed. Morals are the right word. Yeah, he's got... some kind of barrier. I don't know.
Yeah, boundaries.
You know, boundaries. Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, but moral's good. Like, he does have ethics. Like, you know, he does have, like, you know, yeah, he does. Moral is actually a really good point of it because he does have that. It's not like he has no morals at all and just like, I'm just going to rape you and all that kind of stuff. So Saggio is like, you know, his butt is safe, pretty much. Yeah, but... though not his mind, though. The rest of him, he's like, he's pretty wrecked. You know, in the morning when he finds out that they're in bed together, naked, completely naked.
With a condom wrapper.
But it might still have something in it because it still looked like, you know, it kept the form. So it might still have the condom in it. Not that he bothered to check.
All right, because he ran out of there.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, I'm just going to grab my underwear and go. Yeah. He's like, he's really distraught.
He looked really cute in the curtain.
Oh yeah, him in the curtain, really good. He's just like, you know, we should do a photo shoot like that. Not we, he should do a photo shoot like that. Just him in the curtain. Communing with the curtain quite well, even though he's like so distraught though. Damn. Well, he is an actor, so he's gotta look good in anything. Especially if he has no clothes on.
That would look good too, right?
Of course. But in any case, hopefully Sajo learns his lesson. But I'm glad that he actually... I'm glad that Azumaya, like, you know, finds out about the situation, not because he discovered the hickey. Because that would have been the cliched, like, version. Because when we were, like, you know, looking at the preview of it, we're guessing, like, oh, maybe he found out because of the hickey itself. But it turned out that, like, you know, everyone already knew the hickey existed. So that was not the central point, which is really nice way, like, the story built up. Azumaya comes back. He's angry, of course. Like, who's the guy who answered my boyfriend's, like, cell phone, basically?
So if he hadn't been walking past him and talking on that phone on the at the same time, he would have passed by him without being scary, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
But I guess because he was talking, he recognized his voice.
Yeah. Azumaya was probably, like, you know, thinking about that voice all night. Because he didn't sleep at all.
I feel mints.
Azumaya had a lot of mints. And he was really pissed off. I hope that his location shoot did not get affected by that.
Well, they said that...
It ended faster.
Yeah, because he was so fired up and stuff. And everybody was inspired. And the storm even went away. Like it was... Like it
like he had effect on it. Azumaya, the angel, is pissed off. Must get him back to his boyfriend. In that entire scene where he pulled him away and, like, pulled him close, brought him to the bathroom to wash him off. But then he was able to, like, you know, confirm after inspecting Sajio's body, you know, exactly what happened.
How?
Well, May, you know, there's a way when you stare at the butt. If it's not so puckered after the act, then most likely it didn't happen. Not that I know about, you know, butts and these kind of things. Or so I've heard. Any case. What I enjoy most is, like, all the things that happen after that. Because it really, this is, like, first test of their relationship. Actual test. Because before, it's, like, all about, like, you know, Azumaya not contacting him. Which is, like, ridiculous. And Sajio's like, oh, what the hell is going on? How come you're not here? Why, how come you're not picking me up? But now this is an actual, like, you know, an actual test. Because, you know, like... Azumaya doesn't really think, like, Sajio did it on purpose. Because he knew he got drunk. Because he did it before. And this is going to show, like, I don't think Sajio's going to be...
That's like, why when Sajio denied it, he was like, you don't remember, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm glad that he didn't just, like, you know, push him off. Be like, no, I didn't... like, I do remember, or something like that. But he was really truthful. And I was like, the breakdown of Sajio, like, really, really gets to me. He was, like, so teary-eyed. Like, he doesn't want to, like, admit it. Like, he really doesn't know. But he was, like, so afraid because, like, he said it. He only wanted, like, Azumaya, you know, to touch his body. He doesn't want anybody else to do it. And that really showed, like, you know, that made Sajio realize, like, how much Azumaya cares about him. But that was only the, like, the beginning of the change. Because, like, you know, we had the confrontation between Azumaya and Akagi in the bar. Yeah, which I thought was, like, really good because... He just basically challenged him, like, you know, this is my guy. Don't go near him anymore.
A world where Sajio is somebody else's doesn't exist or something?
Yeah, exactly. And that really shows, like, you know, Azumaya's, like, you know, telling somebody, actually, like, you know, somebody that's not just Sajio. He's just actually, like, you know, actually somebody that's outside in the entertainment world, which I said is, like, pretty dangerous.
Well, it looks like we might find that out next week.
So after that scene, then we got to, like, you know, back to Sajio and Azumaya back at, like, Azumaya's apartment.
Well, because Sajio's, like, kind of hurt. He was like, I didn't run away from him. So because he's like, he's still going to chase him if
If he, yeah, then, exactly.
Like, if he runs away, then he won't chase him.
But. Yeah, that part really so, got to me because it was, like, so beautiful. Because, like, they were together and...
sad, too. Well, when he woke up alone.
Yeah, it was beautifully sad. It was, like, so... Because, like, for once, like, Sajio was, like, realizing, like, you know, he wants, like, Azumaya to stay. He doesn't want him to go away. And then, like, you know, for some reason, like, Azumaya just went away, even though Sajio didn't know that Azumaya went to find Akagi and, like, give a piece of his mind.
Yeah, I'm confused about the timeline here, because he was, like, when Sajio woke up, he was, like, morning, why is he not here, or something like that.
Yeah.
But what time was that? Because it seemed like it was still night, like, he was, when Azumaya went to confront Akagi.
It was already nighttime, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling like
did maybe in the time. Day or did yeah, no, I think happen? I think I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure they got work. So I'm pretty sure they got work. So they went to their work. And so I can just imagine like Azumaya, like, you know, working and then like going to find Akagi like that night. Because yeah, when they were in the bar, it was nighttime. And all of a sudden, like, it's nighttime again. So yeah. Just like all the scenes where Sajio's, like, confronting Azumaya is so beautiful in this episode. Yeah, that's, like, my favorite part. And you get to see, like, even more of Sajio's, like, his expressions.
Their faces are so emotional.
I know. But he's, like, yeah, that's, like, you know, that emotional part of him. But you also see he's trying to be strong. Because when he was, like, you know, by himself in the morning right after, like, you know, the act... Right after, like, leaving Akagi at the hotel, he's, like, you know, trying to be firm. He was, like, he's still trying to get a hold of what happened the last night. And then he, like, sent Azumaya the text, you know. And then he's, like, so troubled, like, you know, by it. I was, like, oh, so beautiful. So sad. Yeah. And then the reunion, like, back at, like, Azumaya's apartment. When he's trying to, like, you know, be the strong guy and be like, you know, I'm just going to give this back to you. Well, I was, like, trying to think what was he feeling at that point? It's like, does he feel like, no, I slept with another guy, so I betrayed you, so I'm going to, like, you know, so basically that is it. Because it just basically sounded like, you know, that's it to our relationship. Thinking back on it, I feel like maybe he thought that the morning when Azumaya left, that he probably thought Azumaya wants to break up with him.
Yeah.
Oh,
because he seemed so sad. He was like, oh, I didn't run away. Why
are you not here? Yeah.
It's like he's still talking to him, even though he knows he's not there. Does he only have one big pillow?
I'm pretty sure the other pillow is on the ground. You can't see this, but we are watching Takayuchi in the background.
It's probably like the fourth time that it's played
since we started recording. Because this episode is just too beautiful.
Oh, their face, like, even his, like, angry, scary face, I love seeing that.
Yeah, Azuma is scary when he is, like, when he is angry. Which I'm really proud of Onoyuki because his voice really goes into so many different types of emotions in this series that I didn't really get to see in, like, occasionally I do get to see, like, you know, hear him as Kagami, like, you know, angry. But youthful Kagami and, like, you know, Azumaya, which is, like, a more mature, I do see, like, there's, like, nuances there. I cannot, like, you know, unless I hear him, his happy sound, which is, like, his happy voice, you know, it's, like, I couldn't tell it was Kagami until, like, I thought about it. So, kudos to, like, Onoyuki. So beautiful.
Remember when he took him away that first time? It's like, I'm going to bring you back to your apartment because if I bring you back to mine, I'm going to lock you up or something like that.
Ah, that is so... Yeah, I remember that part. Yeah, when that time, like, when they dragged him out, I was, like, thinking, was there anybody else around? But I realized only Akagi was around when he said that. And so Akagi already knew, like, that was their relationship. It's like... But Azumaya basically did not care who was listening anymore.
I like that he admits it, that he really likes him.
I know. The scene is, like, really, really nice. And I like how they did it, because they were focusing on the card. They're both holding onto the card, okay? Like, Azumaya is, like, about to take it for him, and then Sajio really didn't want to let go. It's like, this is, like, their relationship.
Their hands are shaking.
Yeah. And so immediately when he took it, he's like, you know, actually, Sajio was actually reaching for the card again. And then, like, Azuma just, like, just threw the card away, and he's, like, he just reached for him.
Is he gonna remember to get that later?
The card?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Azumaya... No, they don't care. Remember what happens in the end? They're gonna move in together.
Well, but they still have to look for an apartment. And hey, why do they have to look for an apartment? Why can't they just move in together? They both live alone anyway.
I know. Okay, I feel like this is just a BL trope, like, they had to fulfill. Because, like, when our relationship trope. Okay, but that, okay, I will tell you, that makes more sense for other couples, not for them. Usually, this is the reason why. Okay, Japanese apartments are tiny as hell. So it's like when
theirs looks huge.
I know. And that's exactly why I say I don't accept it from this. Okay, even though it's a cute idea and then they can go shopping together, what the hell. But it's like, Japanese apartments are tiny. So usually when two people, like, you know, they live in a single apartment, it's usually a single room, two LDK. It's like not very, like, you know, one LDK is like one bedroom or even a studio apartment. And then you can't exactly fit two people in there because they're tiny. But these two are celebrities and their rooms are huge. So I don't know why they wanted to move to another apartment. It's like, are they gonna move into a gigantic apartment, maybe as something less large as Usami's house or something like that,
a whole fresh new apartment just for them that they bought together?
Pretty much like that. I feel like it's a BL trope that they're just trying to fulfill. It's a beautiful idea though, because I feel like, you know, they should just move into one of their apartments like that, because I'm pretty sure already, like, as celebrities, I'm pretty sure they already live, like, in apartments with, like, with, you know, special security and all that kind of stuff. Because a lot of them do. They, like, a lot of the apartments, even though they all live by themselves, they're usually with, like, a really high security.
So I asked Ananda if he wanted to watch this with me, and he said no. So while when he went to take a shower, I started playing it to watch by myself, but he came out, like, probably
after the first scene, right? After, like, they slept together.
I don't know. It was, remember when it was when Akagi was talking to his manager, because Ananda was like, "Oh, there's a cat face guy." Anyway, so after this part, after they were in the bed, after they made up and stuff and being all sweet, and then it's morning. Ananda was like, "Wait, what happened? Aren't they gonna show anything?"
I will have Ananda know. Okay, bad. This series has the most, like, foreplay in BL that we had in a long time, even more than Super Lovers, all right? But ever since, like, you know, Junjo is, like, one of the last ones that actually had TV series with actual, like, sex scene in it. But, like, I would say Takayuchi has a lot of foreplay.
Yeah, like all this touching stuff and their sweet faces.
Exactly, because Love Stage had nothing. Love Stage had that one, like, thing in the beginning, and that was it. Like, at the end, and they had it at the very last episode, and that was it. So they had no scenes like that. Hitori Jime doesn't have anything.
Well, Ananda was expecting, like, in hentai, some kind of, like, X-ray...
Yes and no. This is airing at 12 a.m., okay? Not even 12 a.m. I think I remember reading it was like 11:59 or something like that. Like 23:59, I think it was. And military time. So they're not going to have, like, you know, straight out hentai like that at 23:59. Ladies versus Butlers was airing at like 2 a.m. or something like that. And that was like them with clothes. So we take what we can get. If he wants to actually watch, like, actual, like, you know, BL with sex scenes, then he has to watch OVAs. Not movies, because nothing happens in movies, too. They can't show that in theaters. That's unfortunate. The Sekaiichi movie didn't have anything.
So it seems like Akagi can be, like, not sleazy. Because he said it really seriously to Saijo that he was serious about him. Mm.
That Saijo actually made him, like, you know, want to try out an actual relationship. Yeah.
Like, even if he did sleep his way into the role, it's like, those women aren't the same as Saijo. It's like, he could devote himself to Saijo.
Yeah. Maybe later on in the series, we'll actually see, like, you know, Akagi actually with somebody.
Narumiya?
Not him.
Narumiya is so innocent. He's like, huh, what's this about pillow talk that was going on in here?
I like it that he's the one actually delivering the challenge. Like, you know, I actually have proof. Okay, you better not touch him because I know, like, you know, I have the proof of, like, you know, here to blackmail you.
Oh, yeah. Like, when we were talking about, what's his name, Azumaya being scary before, he says, like, he's scary, like, he goes because he knew Saijo's number. He knows what Saijo's doing right now. Can identify him. He's like, I'm not in the garbage can.
Pretty much. Azumaya's like stalking him. He is somewhere. He's got like webcams on Saijo's person. He's like, Saijo's cannot be trusted by himself. Of all the places, why would he hide in the garbage can? Oh, remember in Gravitation, where he was in the vending machine? He was dressed up as a vending machine?
He was in luggage or something. He was in
luggage. No, it wasn't the vending machine. It was luggage.
He looked really cute, though.
He was really cute in the luggage. He just wants Yuki to take him. Shinichi wants him to, like, take him away.
When we got up to the preview, Ananda's just joking around. He's like, oh no, one of them's dying. And I was like, oh, they're actors. This could mean anything. It could be them, it could be not be them, and it could be some kind of scene in a movie, drama, etc.
Yeah, I have a feeling, like, because it looks like back in hospital, maybe they're going to do a second movie. But I was like, that's already too soon. Because that movie just came out. They're not going to, like, have a second movie. But at the end of the episode, of course, talks about the next challenge. There just can't be any peace. Azumaya and Saijo are, like, you know, planning their move in together. And unfortunately,
maybe it'll be like embracing love. Just reveal the relationship to the whole world.
That was very bold. And that is seen in other type of series. I think even Love Stage, they were, like, you know, still very secretive, very private about their relationship. I'm trying to think of another, like, you know, series. Gravitation, of course. We're back to Gravitation. Like, they did reveal that their love to the world in Gravitation. Yeah. Yuki being, like, you know, the writer and the singer, so there's not many that many series, because Dakagichi, even though for all its, like, you know, all the comedy inside, there is some, like, grounded reality, and we are talking about present day. So Japan still continues to be not so open to it, so we'll see how it goes. They are hinting at, you know, the last part of the episode, is hinting at, like, you know, maybe the photographer is going to be following Azumaya and Saijo's relationship together. But we're not sure. Yes, Takayuchi, this episode is my favorite. It's got one of the, like, some of the sexiest scenes in there. There's, like, you know, there's foreplay, there's, like, you know, touching in every single episode. So I love this.
I just like that he confessed. I like you.
I know. We don't get, like, you know, we don't have to wait, like, the entire series for us to, like, to get to that point.
They're a couple, but not really a couple.
Now they are actually a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the, like, their relationship actually progressed. How do you feel, like, about the pacing of the series so far?
It's good.
Yeah, I feel like it's not dragging. It's interesting in every single episode. It's progressing at a good pace. Definitely after, like, you know, so I don't want to spoil myself, so I'm not, like, touching the manga just yet. But afterwards, I really will see, like, how
the manga. I want to spoil myself. I'm just lazy.
Girl, you have so much you're reading and playing that it's, like, I'm happy you haven't touched it yet, even though, like, you know, you want to spoil yourself.
Maybe I'll finish Hakuoki since I finished Will A Wonderful World.
Finally. But you actually did. You actually played a lot of Hakuoki.
Well, I kind of played maybe the same amount as you, because I did all the 12 guys for the first part of the game. And you did the whole game, but you only did 6 guys because that was the original game.
So, like, ratio-wise, I did the same amount as you. Yeah. Thank you. I feel very happy about that. I'm going to get to the next game. You lent it to me, basically. Okay, moving on to Bookseller Honda. We watch the next episode of Bookseller Honda, and we get to see more about, like, you know, the workings of the bookstore. All I can think about from Bookseller Honda was the part where they're trying to, like, order more books. I didn't realize how complicated that could be.
They have, like, some scary guy ordering them? I can't remember what happened now.
No, basically, yeah, he had the...
he has, like, the magic touch to get the right books or something.
Yeah, he's the assistant manager of the bookstore, and he's, like, he's got the connections. Like, usually, which is really surprising because, hearing how, like, all the different, how the bookstore actually works, because I'm pretty sure this is not how, like, bookstores work in the U.S., not at all. Like, I'm pretty sure people who work in the bookstore, like, those clerks and everything, don't know about how to order books. I'm pretty sure that's, like, totally somebody else. But in Japan, like, it seems like everyone has a hand on that. Like, you know, they're the ones that actually order the books themselves. And if they have problems, we have the assistant manager to help order the books. So, like, each one has their own, like, section. They know what's going on. They're able to, like, you know, they seem to do everything. Japan, like, people work really hard. I wonder if that has anything to do with, like, you know, one of their, like, office concepts. Because people in Japan actually, like, you know, when they work, it's almost like you work for a company, you work there for life. And actually, every couple of years, they require, then this is purely for office people. Yeah. Where, like, you know, you work there for a few years at a certain department. And then after a few years, they force you to change to another department and, like, learn that, whatever it is that, like, you can learn there. Yeah. That's like, you know, in one company, you basically rotate. Sometimes you get, like, you know, get promoted, and that's how you do that. Otherwise, like, if you don't, if you're in a position for a certain period of time, even though you love that position, you have to, like, force you to move. So I feel like that's, like, the bookstore is sort of something like that, where, like, you know, the clerk here, like, if, like, the person who works the bookstores are just, like, you know, they do stocking, maybe they put stuff on the store. You have to know about that area, but I'm sure they don't do, like, you know, all the intricacies of, like, you know, I don't know, wrapping it or, like, you know, actually calling the company and ordering it. They're so, like, they're so hands-on in Honda-san. Yeah, I really do give them, like, even more props than ever. But yes, we have the assistant manager who actually gets the stores, get the stuff in. And we have a new character in Honda-san. The Kendo guy. Yeah, Kendo-san. The young guy. The young, really strong guy.
That nobody would expect to be that strong or something like that.
And he's, like, so innocent. He's got, like, the voice. Like, the really cutesy voice.
He'd be, like, the kind of seme that's, like, unexpectedly seme or something.
Yes.
Maybe kind of like Azumaya.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to fall in love with that. Who is he gonna seduce in Honda-san? maybe with Honda-san.
Sure.
Because he interacted with him. There you go. Oh my gosh. Yay, BL and Honda.
Praise him for his book fair signs or something.
Yeah, his pop-ups. Ah, then we hear about fairs. There are different types of fair in Japan. Sometimes they actually have, like, you know, events like signings for the book fair, but majority of the time, like, book fair in Japan, like, or fairs in general, are just basically promotional periods. They call it that. That's why when I was in Japan, I got really confused. I thought a fair would actually be, like, you know, an actual, like, an event where, like, you know, stuff goes in. Okay. Yeah, but then when they call it book fair, or those kind of, like, sale fairs, like when I go to Animate or something. They basically, if you, during the fair times, is basically you would, if you buy that book or some of that, it will come with something. That's why they had to have a meeting in Honda-san to actually talk about those fairs, because each of those books.
Oh, I remember. they're like, oh, it turned the bookmark this way. And he's like, oh, but people want to buy it for the idol, right? And he's like, yeah, but we don't want people stealing them.
Yeah.
And then people will get angry.
Pretty much. And they actually showed how you would be able to steal it because that's how they wrap the books. They vacuum seal wrap this way. So if you open it up like that, like if you like, you know, push it together a little bit, you're able to take out the stuff. And unfortunately, I do see sometimes like something that does happen. Like, I don't know how they do it with a tango, not the tango bonds, what is it, those magazines? Like, oh my god, because they do squeeze that, like, you know, they do squeeze those, like, furoku inside the magazines. So you would have to, like, really dig into, like, pull it out. So it's only, like, very few that I would, like, see that kind of shoplifting. I don't know how much, like, people shoplift in Japan, but, like, I do see, like, you know, sometimes there is something that's missing.
Oh, well, like, in Kino, I would squeeze it to look for it to make sure it's actually it's there. In there.
Yeah. It's not to actually steal it. Yeah. And occasionally I would squeeze it to see, like, what kind of color pages are in there or something like that. Yeah. Yes. So because of how they're, like, you know, how they're sealed. But, yeah, that was really funny, though, because the idol that they want for that bookmark is always on the other side, and so he gets into a lot of trouble. Like,
why don't people have common sense?
I don't know, but I feel like, you know, because Honda-san is talking about reality, I can imagine, and I feel like that happens a lot. Yeah,
well, I don't know if they probably pack it like extra stuff now to stop people from stealing that kind of stuff, because the blind boxes in Kino, they like tape over parts where they think people might try to open it
or yeah something. So you can actually see like what it is. That's true. Yeah, there has to be extra like extra caution about what do they have to do. Yes.
So I wonder if like for stuff that comes with the stuff that comes with extra stuff in Kino, you have to buy the thing and then go upstairs to the second floor to
get it.
Yeah.
And actually, that's how it is in anime too. So when I'm buying stuff in Japan, a lot of the fair stuff, some of it, as they said, is wrapped up.
Kino is basically anime here.
Pretty much. That's what it is. Unfortunately, we don't get as much stuff as anime, but like actually, the Kino stuff that we get, they actually do order from Animate. That's their that's the collaboration. In Japan though, Kinokuniya and Animate are two different obviously two different stores. They don't usually do collaborations. Kinokuniya is mainly a bookstore. They do have a manga section. They don't have any merchandise. So aside like, you know, if there is fairs, they don't go to Kinokuniya to have fairs. But since we're in New York, we don't have other like, you know, Japanese stores. We used to have two, but we don't have that anymore. We do have Book Off, but of course they're not going to have fairs. It's a used bookstore.
Asahi always seemed like it didn't cater as much to like otaku people as
though they had like a good selection of magazines. That's actually like when you're talking about going to the counter, that's what usually happens. So we would have like the one kind, like the fair stuff. If it's strictly for fair, it would not be packed in. Sometimes it would have like, you know, those additional like, you know, promo, like just a piece of paper. I don't know why they would have it, but it's like, you know, a message from the author or something like that they wrote, and then they will be included. Those pieces of paper are actually not extras. Those pieces of paper are actually like an actual gift. Okay, so I don't mean like extra. I don't mean it's like just like a piece of paper, even though it's like
an advertisement.
Yeah, like an advertisement. It's not an advertisement. Sometimes like those pieces of paper that comes, especially like, you know, Yamane Yano really loves those stuff. Yamane Sensei, so like when I usually buy like the books, the tankobons, they would come with a piece of paper they had the publishing company actually has specially have to make, and that goes with the book. A lot of times it would be sealed with the book. Okay, and as we see in Honda-san, I thought that the publishing company would come with it already sealed. Apparently not. There's a limited number. So as you can see from Honda-san, I learned so much. They actually had to like vacuum seal it with the book, like at the bookstores. So as for the fair items come separately. So fair items are, you would have to like, you know, at a period of time, you have to buy the items. And then when you show it to them at the store, we would get the extra. Usually it's not by choice. Usually it's just random. So that's why like a lot of people would buy a bunch of stuff to get it. So, like, they would have these kind of, like, when in anime, there'll be anime girl fair. That one was have, they'll have like special items actually released. So that's something else altogether. So that's when actually when Anime Girl Fair is actually an event that you can go and you can buy a bunch of stuff. So, but usually the, like generally they would have like fairs, just like, you know, to do special promotions for the book. That's why in Honda-san, they were talking about like whether or not like, why do we have fairs anyway? But we get fairs so we can collect all those extra stuff. Usually it's just a bunch of paper. When Kay had a fair, we had like those like, they gave out like those coasters.
Oh, that's right. When I ordered stuff, I was sent some of them.
Exactly. So because we bought those items, that's what it came with. Yeah. So like those bookstores, like Animate, like, you know, even if you buy merchandise, there will be merchandise fairs, those kind of things. So just to help promote this stuff, which I really do like. It just like it makes people like, you know, bookstores like Honda-san really, really busy. Well, for us, we just like collect like collecting paper. It's always fun. This week, I didn't have a chance to watch the next episode of Nozaki-kun because we got really, really busy.
I could watch this like 5 more times.
Takaichi? Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. Because we got to the part where it says, I miss you. Or I want to have sex with you one last time.
Well, those are the things he's like, did you want me to say those things?
Exactly. And then we get to the part where he's holding onto the card. Oh, that's the part where I forgot to mention. It was so sweet. Like, Sajo realizing that they actually did not have sex.
He's so relieved.
Yeah. His expression. I feel like that is so realistic because, like, you know, he really didn't want to have sex with him, with Akagi. And so when he finds out, like, no, like, when he confirmed it, he was, like, so relieved. His expression and his voice. I really give Seiyu that props for that, too.
Well, I was wondering how he grew up, like, what his life is like. Because he said nobody's ever loved him like this. What does he have parents or anything? Or?
I guess with like an overwhelming type of love. I'm we don't get to hear much about his parents. If it's like every other series, maybe they passed. Hopefully so who not.
Did he grow up with?
But yeah, I guess like one of the things like, well, not to mention they highlighted it that he was a child actor. So he became in like show business since he was small. So I guess he never had like any like, you know, long lasting relationships, like friendship, and not to mention like, I don't know about his love life, but no one that actually like, you know, totally like dedicated, like, you know, like loved him in that kind of way. Anana didn't think this was sexy.
I mean, he wants to see action.
Uh-huh. So do I. Maybe if like Takaichi like comes out on OVA.
And he wants to see stuff going into stuff, I think.
Don't we all? Don't we all? See, like, when you notice his wings and his, like, feathers, when it's, like, happy feathers, they're all curly. Oh. And when it's, like, black feathers, they're all, like, really, really flat.
It's like JoJo's ears.
Yeah. See, like, when he's not happy, JoJo the dog, his ears go down. And so when it's, like, happy, they're all, like, up, and his tail is wagging, and they're all curly. So beautiful.
Hey, why'd he turn away from the TV? Does he not like BL?
Maybe he gets distracted.
Maybe it was, like, this is like the fifth time it's been playing.
It's like, I've seen it already. You guys have not changed the channel. So as you can see, we're recording actually in a different location today. Today is special. Usually it's not this like quiet.
Thank you, guys. See.
As you can hear, even though we're talking about Takaichi again, there's always like so much to talk about, especially this episode. Akagi seems to like, from what Sajo has said, aside from the fact that he sleeps around with a lot of girls, it seems like Akagi is the way he is because, you know, he never had any like long-lasting relationships. So aside from like him wanting to get to the top.
So they're a little the same. That they never had like any relationships that they.
Oh, that's true. Except like, you know, Sajo does it one way. Like, you know, he reacts. he's like, you know, the way he relates to people, he's not, you know, trying to use them. And we're not even sure. Maybe like Akagi is not really trying to use people. It just ends up like, you know, it ends up with him. He's able to, he's like, oh, these people want to sleep with me anyway, so I'm just going to do it to get ahead. So it sounds a lot like that. So as May, as you said before, he has a lot of like redeeming, he does have like some redeeming qualities, especially at the end when he said to Sajo, like how much he wants to like, you know, actually, you know, like him, how much he has like fallen in love with him or like, you know, come to like him.
Angel of Ice Flow.
That thing that there was, that Narumaya's, what's his name again?
Narumiya?
Narumiya is holding.
He's so innocent. He's like, huh? What's this about pillow talk?
He's a high school student, okay? I don't know how old, like, Akagi is, but I do not want to pair them up together. Yet. But Narumiya is like,
he's like grabbing his shirt.
Yeah, I know. Narumi is the one who's going to, like, you know, take control and strip him.
Narumiya going to get it back from him, from under his shirt?
Oh, yeah. He's going to reach
in. Or his pants, or wherever it was he put it.
I think it looked like he was, like, putting it into his pants. Really, it does.
When he said he's about to leave the studio, does he mean this studio?
No, I feel like Azuma is just lying. Or maybe he is not lying and he's just like, you know, at another studio. And as I said, he just put a webcam on him.
Put a webcam on Narumiya.
I'm sure Narumiya is like, oh, sure. Azumaya, you gave me this thing. I'm just going to like clip it on and just keep it with me because he said so. It doesn't seem like the photographer wants to do something like that. But he actually admitted, like, you know, trying to stake out somebody, like trying to dig up something, is pretty vulgar.
Everybody needs money.
Pretty much. Unfortunately, it seems like our two guys are going to be the next target, though.
Well, but it could be like embracing love, where they just tell everybody what they're doing. Embracing, I love that part where they had a fight and then like the whole world knows, but they had that press conference and somehow the two of them managed to say the same things and everybody's like, was this set up?
I remember. Oh my gosh, it's been so long since I read it.
This is like a less adult version of Embracing Love, maybe.
Less adult? Well, yeah, it's true. Yeah, Embracing Love does have sex everywhere.
They were like porn actors, right?
Yes, they were AV actors. They were AV actors. Not necessarily together. They were just like in the AV business for very, very long.
Yeah. Well, they were kind of like rivals because...
Yeah, they were
both. I can't remember their names now. Kato? And who's the Uke?
I don't know.
Well, and Morikawa Toshiyuki.
Yeah, I remember the seiyus because I got the seiyus, the two seiyus of Haruo Daeta confused the hell out of me.
Ishino Morikawa and Conrad.
Exactly.
Hey, let's just call them that. Okay, anyway.
So who was on top again? Shino or Conrad?
Shino's on top.
Yeah. even though in Kill Kara Mao, Shino and Conrad are not the couple.
I'm a Kan Yu fan. I don't know about everybody else.
Kan Yu is really nice, but Yu is with everybody in that series. Except for Shino. Maybe sometimes even Shino. Shino is usually with, like, you know, Daikenja. Yeah. Even when Daikenja is actually Murata.
I'm a little bit Yuri and Murata.
Well, yeah, yeah. Those two are really cute together. Especially when Murata, like, you know, does things to try to help him. Like, he plans things without telling Yuri. Yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, because they were rivals. Right? There wasn't Shino, like the younger, more becoming more popular actor.
Yeah. That's why he at the beginning he would not like. He doesn't want to. It was Conrad doesn't want to, like, you know, acknowledge him. And he's like, yeah, you're just like, you know, you're just a, you're gaki. I forgot what the term that he used to call him. But yeah, you're just like, you're younger and like, you cannot, you shouldn't overtake me. Which is, as you said, like, you did, when you compared it to Takayuchi, when you compared Takayuchi to to the relationship and Haru and Daita, that's basically it. Well, May, was there something else you want to add? We went back to talk about Takayuchi, but Takayuchi is just like so hot this week. So
I mean, it's still playing. Oh, yeah. So Ananda and I, we watched Zombieland Saga and Steins Gate Zero, so we could compare Miyano. Like mad scientist type voice, except Steins Gate Zero, it follows a different timeline, and he was like completely normal in
it. Yeah, Okabe doesn't sound like himself in Steins Gate Zero.
Yeah, maybe he sounds like light. I don't know. Anyway, so then we were like looking for clips of, because we were just watching them off Crunchyroll for convenience, so we looked for clips of Okabe and YouTube.
I see.
Definitely both the crazy.
Yes.
The guy from Zombieland, like, I forgot his name.
Yeah, I don't remember his name too, but I do know Miyano. Really, how they describe it? A lot of the fans describe Miyano in Zombieland as like so purely Miyano. He just like, they just let the director just let Miyano go crazy with, like, you know, he is at his most zany in that series.
Yeah, I like that voice. I really like that kind of,
yeah, pretty much.
Well, I like the character too. He's funny.
Yeah, Miyano definitely is like one of my favorite characters, and that's the reason why Zombieland is like definitely on my, like, I will see this. But as I mentioned before, I will see this when I'm done with everything else I need to do, because there's just too much going on, and Zombieland has too much estrogen. So I don't mind like girls filled series. Like, there are a lot of series that I do watch like that are filled with girls aside from shoujo. Like, I watched Akuma no Riddle. Well, that's only because of Koga Sensei did the story. Yeah, it was a really good story too, and that's all girls. There's no guys in that series. There's a lot of GL too. A lot of, like, you know, story that based that I'm pretty sure Koko Sensei had a lot of influence on. So yes, Zombieland, the series, is actually really good. And it has Miyano in it. So it's definitely a must-see. Anything else, May?
I don't think so.
All right, next week is going to be a treat because it's going to be after Anime NYC.
So, or during.
Or during. We'll see what we can pull out with. So stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.